a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 everyone. You're listening to the Dr. Kevin Show. My name is not Dr. Kevin. This is Matt Connerton. And of course, if you are a regular listener to this program, you might already be familiar with me. I typically join Dr. Kevin on the show the first Thursday of every month. And then occasionally, he will ask me to guest host for him, as I am doing this evening. So this is the Dr. Kevin Show on the Ohm Times Radio Network, saving the world one ohm at a time, as Dr. Kevin would normally say if he were here with us, of course. So, again, my name is Matt Connerton. I host a radio show called Matt Connerton Unleashed, which you can hear from anywhere in the world at IPMNation.com. That is weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, if you happen to be in Manchester, New Hampshire, you can also hear me on the FM dial on WMNH 95.3 in Manchester and on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page as well. But the best way to hear the show is IPMNation.com, and that is live weekdays. But, you know, every now and then I'll get done that program and jump on this one. So here we are, and we will go ahead and bring in my guest this week on the Dr. Kevin Show. This is kind of familiar. I think I've talked to this guy before. Welcome to the show, our guest. This is Dr. Kevin. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on, Matt. You know, I don't ever get a chance to be on this side of the microphone anymore.
Yes, yes. Well, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, Dr. Kevin.
Ah, well, thank you for having me.
So, well, you know, it's anytime. You're welcome anytime on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
I don't mean to speak for Dr. Kevin when he's not here, Dr. Kevin, but you're always welcome, Dr. Kevin, on the Dr. Kevin show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So, yes. What are we talking about today, Matt, on the Dr. Kevin show?
Well, I believe we're going to get your thoughts on manipulation and, you know, people being two-faced and things like that, and some of the aspects of it. It's not necessarily all negative, and as one might expect. And we'll get your thoughts and feelings and formulations and all of that.
So, do you want to introduce me at all? Matt?
I introduced you as Dr. Kevin. Would you like a further introduction? The legend, Dr. Kevin. How's that? The effervescent Dr. Kevin.
Come on, Matt. How long have you known me? How many times have you interviewed me on different shows of yours?
I have known you, Dr. Kevin, for about 35 years now.
God, really? Been that long?
No, I'm kidding. No, it hasn't really been that long.
So.
There's a lot of time distortion these days. For example, it seems like Trump has been president for a decade. So there's a lot of time distortion. No, it hasn't been quite that long. But Dr. Kevin, you are I'm trying to think of some of the terms that I hear you. Well, you are a spiritual intuitive. Is that the right term?
Psychic does, you know, it's in fact, it's one of those pet peeves. There was a very long period of time when everybody that was trying to, you know, help with marketing and promoting me and stuff like that, went saying, you know, psychic has a bad rap. Don't use that term. Use a different term.
Yeah.
Use a different term. And then at some point I outgrew needing to do that. Because what I am is I'm a psychic. That's what I am. So, like, you know, I mean, I'm not a sideshow psychic.
Right.
You know what they are.
Yeah, you know, the people who set up a table and they have a crystal ball and they wear, you know, a funky outfit, like a genie costume or something.
Well, they do it as a kind of they do it. Usually it's people that, you know, may or may not have psychic abilities, but they take advantage of the vulnerable. They say things to be awe-inspiring and impressive, and they do things which then leads to you trusting them, a trust which they then betray or take advantage of more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm surprised. I was like, I figured you were gonna kind of like knock this out of the park, Matt. You know, you've interviewed me so many times. I figured you at least have one or two kind words to say about me.
You didn't like effervescent? That's a great word.
It is a great word. I don't know that it says a lot in this case, but you know, we can work with it. So one of the things is because originally I was going to be at a dinner tonight, and then I realized that I didn't reserve my tickets in time because I waited to ask you on the show and I needed to know the day before. Oops, my bad.
Oops.
But anyway, that being said, so I thought it would be fun to, you know, like the old days, have you interview me for a change.
Right.
Right. So getting on with this. Matt, are we doing any call-in this week?
Oh, yes. I don't know the number, though. I didn't even think of that. I did not even think of that. That's funny. Oh. We are a call-in show, and now I don't know if you know this, Dr. Kevin, but actually on my show, you haven't been on my show in a long time, but you might recall that on my show I always have the guest announce the call-in number. It's just kind of a gimmick that I do, and I thought I would bring that to the Dr. Kevin show in my capacity as guest host. I would have the guest read the number.
Oh, okay. So if you'd like to be part of this conversation, which is actually going to happen at some point, you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. There were two or three things that I wanted to talk about, and I wanted us to talk about it.
Yes.
So instead of like talking about the guests, because we always talk about politics the first week. I mean, it's pretty standard issue politics. So I'm actually going to start with something that just showed up in the last day or so, last couple of days, which is kind of sort of crosses that politics divide, but not really. It doesn't have a T in it. I want to talk a little bit about the Ellen DeGeneres big thing by sitting next to George Bush. Have you heard about this? The scandal?
Yes, I did see that. I did. Well, so we should explain to people, of course, that she was at, was it a football game?
The owner of the Green Bay Packers, I think it was playing Dallas at the home, and she knows the owner, and the owner invited her to VIP seating to come, her and Portia, her wife, to come see it.
Yeah. She's sitting there in the VIP booth, as it were, with next to W. And apparently they were sharing a laugh. And a lot of people didn't think that Ellen should be sharing a laugh with George W. Bush. And she received quite the backlash from that.
One of the things Ellen said that I found that I keep on going back to in my head is that when she says be kind, she means be kind to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those places where I'm actually going to say what might be considered an inflammatory comment to some of the listeners out there. But when I saw the whole brouhaha, all I could think of was, good for you, Ellen. You were civil. You lived your integrity. You didn't scream. Mm-hmm. You didn't holler. You didn't give him a cold shoulder. You lived in the integrity that you talk about all the time.
Right.
And that she was just being Ellen.
Right.
And she laughed and she joked and she was personable. And I think especially some of these people that love Ellen and love how she loves people and some of the quote-unquote spiritual people that also really like Ellen and she's doing so much good in the world. Well, you know, if we were a little bit more civil with people that disagreed with us, if we didn't feel like we had to holler or scream to get our point across, if we didn't feel like we had to go name-calling, if we didn't buy into the black hat and the white hat, and, you know, if we could say, you know what, yeah, she didn't say she'd vote for him for president if she ran again, Harry ran again. She didn't say that, you know, she voted for him for president. She didn't say that she agreed, but she said he's a human, and I was civil to him.
Right.
I was kind to him. And I think that the more, and this makes me think of Michelle Obama, the more we take the high road. If you come across somebody and they're a George W. supporter or this day and age, a Trump supporter, maybe you just need to say, I'm trying to understand. And I'm not going to judge you. And I'm not going to get into a screaming match with you. I don't understand. And maybe you don't have to talk about it at all, because there are always going to be people out there with different belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ellen, you know, just like Michelle Obama always ends up like sharing a candy with George W. or something. I mean, they've had two or three pictures.
Right.
And I don't remember an outlash that Michelle was somehow, a traitor to human rights or LGB rights or anything else. I don't remember anybody screaming about that. What makes Ellen
right.
so different? So, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. So I basically agree with you, but I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, because one of the things that, I'm hearing from people who were critical of Ellen is that, they'll say, well, where do you draw the line, though? Because on the one hand, because it's one thing to say, because it's George W. Bush, it gets a little bit complicated in this way. Depending on how you view him, for example, it's one thing to say maybe you don't agree with him politically, or maybe, you know, Ellen is gay and married to a woman, and George W. Bush is someone who ideologically opposed same-sex marriage, although I personally suspect that he personally couldn't care less about it one way or the other, but that's, you know, but his base would tend to oppose same-sex marriage. So you know, you can view it that way as disagreeing politically, but then there's also the more severe view that some people have of George W. Bush, where some people look at him as a war criminal, as someone who got us into Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, through convinced the country to go along with that through lies and you know, a lot of deception and subterfuge. And if you see George W. Bush in that way and you're willing to put that label on him as war criminal, which a lot of folks do, then it changes the dynamic, because then, you then have to say to Ellen, why would you sit there and laugh with a war criminal, someone who is responsible for because if we're really being fully honest about it, we're talking about someone who has a lot of blood on his hands. And that's how I view George W. Bush. I view him as someone with an awful lot of blood on his hands. You know, hundreds of thousands of people, civilians killed, you know, over the course of our term in Iraq, for example. So when you look at it that way, then it becomes, it's a little trickier. Then it's not so much, well, you know, be kind. You know, if you say, well, be kind to everyone, yeah, sure, be kind and try to understand. But if you're sitting there with a war criminal, again, if you view him that way, then I think it's a little tougher to say, yeah, be kind to everyone, try to understand, try to have a dialogue, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, so, and here's my response to that, Matt, mm-hmm. that Ellen didn't know who was going to be in the booth.
Right.
From what I've read, that she shows up, she knows the guest, and she knew that she would probably be sitting in a spot where, besides the fact that she was a Packers fan, that she wasn't, that she would have major different belief systems
mm-hmm.
With people. And she chose to go with her wife, did not change her behavior as who she is, and she made the best of the situation when she showed up. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know what she would have done differently in that situation, which would have been in integrity with who she is. Storm
right.
out, cold shoulder, treat them like
no,
dirt.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, that is a great point. It's easy for people to armchair quarterback it, but, you know, but it's another thing to actually be in that situation. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And, oh, I hear the music, Dr. Kevin. So we will take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is, Matt Connerton guest hosting this week on The Dr. Kevin Show. Stay with us.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey. And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Dr. Kevin Show on the Ohm Times Radio Network. My name is Matt Connerton, and I am filling in this week for Dr. Kevin on the Dr. Kevin Show. And we are talking with a gentleman who I believe this is his first time as a guest on the Dr. Kevin Show. Dr. Kevin is with us.
Hey, Matt.
Hey,
and
Dr. Kevin.
The number, if you want to call in, is 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Don't you hate it if you stop in the middle when you have something memorized, you can't pick it back up sometimes?
I do. That's why I like to let the guests say the number.
Yeah.
It's just one less thing for me to have to worry about as a host. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anything you want to say. So, I do think that, you know, it's a tough thing because we were talking about the Ellen and George Bush thing. And, Matt, I think it's a tough thing that if you say that you believe that the energy in the world, and most spiritual people do, okay, if you say that the people that the energy you put out is the energy that comes back, are you going to be are you going to be hope and optimism and you know, are you going to bring in light energy, or are you going to get sucked into the toxic, dark, name calling, blustering thing that we get exposed to on a constant basis these days? And you know, and so I think you have to stand up for yourself. I don't think you should be pushed around, and I don't think you should ever hide your opinions. And as far as I can tell, he was perfectly nice. And so I don't know if Laura was there or not. Actually, they didn't say whether Laura was there and anything I've read.
She was.
She was? Okay. Maybe it was there and it just didn't register. But they were very nice to Ellen and Portia. And if he actually is so anti-gay, and like you said, you're not sure that he wasn't just playing to his base, which is another sad statement in this country, is, you know, you have to play to your base.
Right.
You know, sometimes it would be better to, you know, play to a fiddle, maybe a harp.
Oh, sure.
So I think that, but it went back and forth. He could have been hateful to her.
Right.
You know, maybe he really does think that she's demon spawn and she's here to lead us to the road of ruin and blah, blah, blah. And maybe in his mind, he feels perfectly justified that he saw what he thought was a bigger picture, which we didn't have access to, and he did the right thing. He'd have to do a lot of talking to convince many people that, and I would be one of them, but the conversations have never happened.
Right.
So we don't know. We know,
right,
we know
right.
What we know. We don't know what we don't know. But I don't think it gets us anywhere. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I will say I am a little bit surprised by this whole thing. I just would not have expected, and I would venture to guess Ellen was surprised as well. I just would never have expected this whole thing to blow up like this and for it to be a controversy. I'm genuinely surprised.
Yeah, you know, I am too, but, you know, there's a lot of frustrated people in the world today, and I think that they're almost gunning for things to get angry at, finding things, no matter who they are, to poke at, to, you know, get out some of their rage that they're not being able to get out, you know, with what's going on in D.C. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of people have a lot of issues with a lot of the Trump supporters, and I at times do too. But
yes,
I'm really questioning. I mean, I'm trying to get into less battles on Facebook, but when somebody posts something that clearly is misrepresented or whatever, I'll take the time to find the truth and post it underneath. Sometimes I find the truth in two or three different places in two or three different formats.
Yeah.
You know, I responded to somebody who was a climate denier saying, well, not all the scientists agree. And so I posted the article, 94% of scientists agree. That it's an issue. And I used your term in the post. I said, follow the money.
You know,
what are these scientists that are saying? I mean, what do you think? You think 94% of scientists in the world are getting paid off to lie? I mean, like, you know, but the people who are denying it, you can be pretty sure that they've gotten some money coming their way to keep the fossil mm-hmm. fuel industry wealthy.
Right.
And in power.
Of course.
So.
Of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't think all the scientists are being paid by George Soros.
No. And it's a sad thing because, you know, you can't say you have to believe science anymore because so much of science is twisted and turned, and it depends on who wrote the check for the study. I find that in my ADD work all the time.
Do you? Yeah.
So, yeah. I had a woman with a degree in neurobiology who would go through these studies for me for a while. And she would explain to me why the research was faulty or what were the assumptions they made that were incorrect, but that supported what the drug company who was underwriting the study wanted to have said, you know, and she had the education and the background to understand the BS when she saw it.
Right.
And she pointed it out to me, but it wasn't going to change anything from the fact of, you know, parents who aren't going to medicate their kids aren't going to medicate their kids, and the ones who are on the fence might get swayed, and then there are the ones who will always medicate their kids. And
right.
they're always going to pray at the altar of the AMA and whatever they say is right, and then when they screw them over, they'll be all outraged, and how could they betray my trust? And I want to say, how can you be so stupid?
Especially right.
It's 2019. Yeah. You find a lot of crap on the internet, but you can actually find real information if you stay with it long enough and you start to be able to discern what is actually something you can trust.
Right.
So let's talk about manipulation.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it has a negative connotation, obviously.
When somebody says manipulation, what do you think?
Well, when I hear the word, I mean, my first reaction is to think of you know, how human beings manipulate each other, you know, whether it's, you know, to get someone to do something for them or you know, I mean, well, you know, you and I discuss politics a lot on the show, you know, there's politicians perhaps, or people in their quest for power, whether it be in politics or other aspects, might manipulate others as a means of getting power, or how politicians manipulate constituents and voters into supporting them when it might not actually be the best option to support a particular individual, things like that. That's what I think of when I hear the term.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, and this is what I want, you know, part of the reason that I think we've ended up where we've ended up today is because we've lost so many of our critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. We've gotten lazy. We're lazy thinkers these days a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And we give our power away on a regular basis, and we stay very blinded to the realities of things that, in this case, like manipulation, and there are many things out there, and I teach this in my classes all the time. Manipulation is neither positive nor negative. It depends on the fingers that are working it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody out there who wants to decry that manipulation is a horrible thing and they would never do it, either never spent any time with a child or had a child, that went through that phase that they said, no, no, no. And you manipulate your butt off to work around the fact that your child is going through a stubborn stage.
Right,
and
right.
Now, and it's manipulation. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the exception. No, it's not the exception. It's manipulation. But the thing is, manipulation is neither good nor bad. It's what your intention and motivation behind it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're manipulating something for somebody to see something, to see a situation, to understand something that they're just having a hard time with, and it's not for self-gain, you're not doing it for you. If you can truly say you're doing it for them, like getting your kids to eat the stuff they need to eat when they're little that's going to keep them healthy and not eat, you know, want to eat nothing but a Happy Meal from McDonald's, which is a scary thought. And I see it happen all the time because, you know, it's because parents get exhausted and it's just easy to do. And, well, my child just won't eat anything else. Well, spend a little bit more time and manipulate them a little better.
Right.
You can get them there. You can do some stuff, but it takes some real effort. But we've given up the word, we've given up the fact that sometimes we have to manipulate a situation to bring it into the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there have been some times, and again, I don't want to turn this into a political show. We do that the first of the month. But I think that there are times when some smart people have set up things to come out in a certain way to show our president's true colors and true side. I think he gets manipulated by the media, and I think he even gets manipulated by some of his own party and some people around him to set him up to do an outburst, because maybe if he has enough of them, the American people might see the real face of who he is. Maybe one of his outbursts will change. Go ahead.
Well, also, too, I mean, you know, it's reported that people working with him in the White House are constantly trying to manipulate him into the exact opposite as well, you know, trying to manipulate him into not doing something terribly self-sabotaging and embarrassing that they can't undo, like the stories we heard about, I think it was Dan Coats when he was DNI, when he was taking memos off of Trump's desk so he wouldn't see them and react to them in a terribly destructive way. Like that's, I mean, you know, you bringing up Trump, I mean, that's a great example of all kinds of manipulation going on around him.
Yeah. And some of it is really for a higher outcome. Now you have to
right,
be careful.
Right.
And I want to caution, because besides the fact that we become lazy thinkers, one of the places we have traded that in for is we excel in self-delusion.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone down a couple hundred points on the critical thinking scale, and you know, thinking for ourselves. And I think the average American has gone up on a couple hundred points on the, but let's be self-deluding here.
Right.
And I want people not to go into the, oh, how dare you? And some people will. I want people to go, you know, I always say this in class, Matt, which is when I say something, if you love it, if you think it's fabulous, if it's the next best thing since sliced bread, take it. It's yours. Spread it around. It would be nice if you attach my name to it, because I'm always looking for new students and new clients. But if you don't, you don't, because I have no control over that. If I say something and it just leaves you flat, like there's no response, there's nothing that you're just kind of like, that's not doing it for me, Dr. Kevin. I'm like, well, that's okay. Not everything I say is going to be pearls of wisdom.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. So walk away. Take what is good and work with it, and know that maybe not everything I said in every class was meant just for you.
Right.
And you take what's meant for you, and maybe that's fine. If it really irritates you and you get defensive and you want to start yelling and screaming, and if I'm just the biggest so-and-so in the world, think that or say that, then you really need to look at it, because I just hit a whole big bunch of truth you don't want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about the increase of self-deluding and lack of self-awareness and responsibility and ownership and the decline of critical thinking skills, you can in a very calm way go, that's not my experience. No, I read people all the time, and I think that they think really well. And I don't think, and I think they're very self-aware. I'd ask if they lived in a Tibetan monastery and there was only five people there, but, you know. But yeah. I think that this is, but if it gets you all upset and how dare I and who do I think I am, then you probably really want to look at it. Because
yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say people get defensive for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, we can all get defensive just because of the reason somebody's being obnoxious sometimes.
Sure, sure.
And I've used more than once recently, only a fool argues with an idiot, so I'm out of this conversation because I'm no fool. I won't tolerate name calling. I won't be told that I'm, ignorant and don't know, and all of these comes on, and I just delete it. I just delete those people off my timeline. Because,
right. Yeah.
You can have a different opinion, but you don't get to be disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. Which people feel very free to do on social media. People treat each other in a way that they would never treat each other, in a face to face or even on the telephone. An actual direct interaction, but on when somebody's behind a keyboard, they get a little brave.
Yeah. Well, so manipulation's not the only thing that applies to. It's the one that I like to use as a teaching core thing, because part of mm-hmm. what I wanted to do since this show kind of sort of went sideways and the guest I thought was going to be able to come on wasn't, and that showed up just before last week before we had our show and everything fell the way it did. I said I want to use this as a teaching show to talk about some things that, who knows, people say to me sometimes, they go, why do you bother? Well, you know they're never going to listen. And I go, but somebody might listen. One person might hear it and go, maybe I will be that final drop of water that makes somebody go, maybe I should rethink this. That's huge.
Right. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. No, I agree. That's why it's important to not give up. Not give up on that.
But I think it's also important not to buy in. And I struggle with this. You know that, Matt. You and I have been on enough shows together, and we've had enough conversations. I struggle with not getting angry and getting sucked into the toxicity of the hate message. Because, when it comes to toxicity and the hate message, if that's the ground you're going to compete with Trump on, you will lose every time. Because he may not be the master of the deal. He may not be he may not be a self-made wealthy man. He may not be a lot of things, but he's a good mudslinger.
That's right. And I hear the music. That means it's time for another break. This is Matt Connerton, guest hosting this week for Dr. Kevin. My guest is Dr. Kevin, and we will be right back. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Dr. Kevin Show on Ohm Times Radio. My name is Matt Connerton. I host a show called Matt Connerton Unleashed, which is live weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern at ipmnation.com. Also, if you happen to be local in Manchester, New Hampshire, you can hear me on WMNH 95.3 FM. And, of course, you can also get the show from anywhere on Facebook, on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page. And I am filling in this week as a guest host for the effervescent, with a capital E, Dr. Kevin. And our guest this week on the show is Dr. Kevin. Dr. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm sure that there are people out there, there may be even people like my producer going, what's going on? Is he crazy?
It is all very confusing, isn't it?
But it's not, like a, because when you know, parallel. When we talk when we talk on the first Thursday of the month, it's mostly about politics, and I like that, and I want to keep it that way. And
yes.
When I interview all my other guests, it's about what they're doing or what they think or what they want to share with the world. And I was like, maybe it's my turn. Maybe I would like to be on the side where, you know, and we might do some future shows like this. I won't be a surprise guest in the future, but we may have, you know, you interview me on, you know, some of the stuff I'm doing out in the world and some of those things. Because I could just come on and do it. I mean, I could any week say, hey, I'm just going to be my own guest, and I'm just going to – and when somebody doesn't show up, and you've been there, and you have that happen sometimes on your show, and you're just a talking head. But it's better with interaction. And so, you know, I'd like to talk to some of about, like, the ADD work I do, the empowerment work I do, the spiritual work I do. I'd like to do us have a day, you know, I'd like it if you came back and we could do a show on ghosts. It is Halloween. I do teach a class
on it.
I do have a DVD on it. I have been doing ghost clearings for my, you know, since I was 18, I think. So anyways, you know, it's going to probably sound really egotistical, but I'm actually a really interesting guy.
You are, yes.
So this is my opportunity to be on the other side. So
I was just going to say, Dr. Kevin, what I've actually been doing this entire time is just pretending we're in an alternate universe, because I think that's kind of fun.
We're in a different Spider-Verse?
Yes,
there we go.
But I'm sorry, you are the guest. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. That's fine. You're such a wise guy.
I don't mean to be a rude host. I interrupted you. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Kevin.
No.
I don't know when we'll have this opportunity again to have you on the show, so please.
Yeah. Well, probably if we're actually going to do a ghost show, we should do it this month at some point. So it might be sooner than you think, depending on your schedule.
Good.
And I have a whole backlog of emails from people that want to be on my show, and I need to go through them, because it's not like I've got a shortage of people that want to be on the show, but I'm starting to feel like, you know, maybe once a month, maybe once every couple of months, I'm going to say, Matt, here's the topic that I want to talk on, and I want you to interview me.
Right, right.
How do you feel about that?
No, I'm, you know, I'm up for anything.
I've heard that. So, So what do you, I think next time what I'm going to do, though, is I think I'm going to send you a list of questions.
A list of questions?
Yeah, I'm going to say, I want to talk on this topic, and here are the questions I want you to ask.
Well, all right.
And then you can ask
if you want.
You can throw them away, but, you know.
Right. Oh, no, I'll do whatever.
You know, for this hour, it's your show.
That's a good point, Dr. Kevin, yes.
Yeah, it's your show right now. What do you think of when I say two-faced, Matt?
Oh, well, I mean, that much like, you know, we discussed earlier, that also has a very negative connotation when I first hear that term. I mean, you know, two-faced, I think of someone who, you know, behaves one way or treats you one way to your face, and then, you know, maybe they're behaving in a different manner behind your back. Maybe they're talking about you behind your back. That's probably where the term is most commonly used. I believe there's also a supervillain named Two-Face, if I'm not mistaken, in the Batman movie, maybe.
Batman verse.
But
yeah.
Okay, yeah. But yeah. So that, I mean, that certainly has a negative connotation.
So just like the word manipulation, the whole concept of being – and I'm calling it two-faced, and some people are going to say, oh, that's not really the definition Webster says. Well, Webster said a lot of things. I don't agree with all of them. But one of the things – so, you know, we all know the negative side of two-faced. Somebody you can't trust, somebody that talks behind your back, it's showing the whole two-faced thing is showing one face to somebody and a different face to somebody else. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I started thinking about this whole thing because I recently am dealing with somebody who is two-faced from an organization that I've been doing business with for a few years, and I'm going to see if we're going to rectify it. So I'm not going to mention any names right now. But if they
don't.
I'll be talking about them a lot, in a lot of ways,
good,
including potentially in court.
Yes.
And the woman I was dealing with was clearly two-faced. And the reason she was two-faced was because she was smiling at me like she liked me. And I know she doesn't, but she's a salesperson. But she lied to me. And I had evidence that she lied to me. And I didn't even deal with her. And in fact, I recommend that is if you're in a business situation and somebody is lying to you, especially if you have proof, not just I feel like they're lying to me, look to see if you can find proof. Look and see if you can find evidence. Look if you can find the inconsistency. Then don't even talk to them. Go over their head.
Right.
I'm not even talking to this woman. Like, why would I talk to somebody who lies to me? Because I'm not going to trust anything they say.
Right.
I'm not going to say whatever they have to if they know that getting caught, they're going to get in trouble for it.
Right.
So, but then there's the good side. Then there's the other side of two-face. And that's being able to integrate the two sides of dealing with somebody and actually having two faces for the same person. And this really applies to people who are doing a lot of, who are very much into the spiritual community or the New Age community, or even some of the, you know, self-help community, things like this. And the two faces that I see that most commonly go together, but people need to learn how to have these two faces. And one is when you're dealing with somebody that you can look at and have some compassion for. I know they came from a tough childhood. I know that maybe that they went through abuse issues, or I know that they had a tough divorce, or I know that they've got, like, I know all of the reasons, or I know some of the reasons, but I'm aware enough to see that this bad behavior, this negative behavior, just didn't spring out one day because they decided, oh, you know what? I think maybe I'll have a Caesar salad for lunch and become negative and become a, you know, a negative version of a lying, two-faced, whatever the case may be.
Right.
There's always something that springs from it. There's something
sure.
there. What led you to do that? What led you to be so self-justifying? What led you to be so insensitive to other people? Where was your wounds? Where are the wounds that you're living from? And I think in this day and age, a lot of times we see some of these wounds, you know, and I don't know this to be true, but I really suspect that Trump was always a disappointment to his father. He's never going to show his grades. You know, he's never going to show his grades because he didn't have good ones and he got tossed out of schools, and his father and his father's connections, you know, covered some really stupid things that he did. And I suspect that he was probably always a disappointment to Fred. But Fred never would have displayed that to the world.
Right.
I suspect that he came in. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yeah, of course. No, I agree.
and there is a part that says that, you know, I bet that Fred wasn't an easy dad. And we have lots of indication that he was racist and he was homophobic and xenophobic and that he was a player and he was all around not a nice guy. And, you know, and this was who this guy had as his role model and had to live up to. And whatever the public face was, I'm sure that the private face was very different. And whatever created the what we have today that we see in this man, which if it's not a mental illness, it definitely borders on one. I can have some compassion that his journey led him here. Now,
right,
a lot of people would be horrified to have any compassion with some of the stuff he's done and the people he's hurt and stuff like this. But as I tell all my clients, having compassion doesn't mean you're saying they're off the hook or that it was okay or that it is
right.
okay.
Right.
And the second face is the face that says, I can show you compassion. I can understand why you lied or cheated or stole from me. I can understand that you may feel like you're desperate or the world never gave you a chance or whatever your story is. We all have a story. You can be a compassionate person and have the face of compassion and have the second face of, but it's not okay. And these are the
right.
boundaries. And there's an accountability in life. And I need to hold you accountable for your actions. Because I'm not doing any good for you if I am compassionate to the point that allows you to, quote unquote, get away with it.
Right, of course.
And I think that there's a struggle. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and I'm not a parent. I don't have any children, but I kind of think of it. It's like how a parent treats a child. You know, you have to, discipline your kid when they do something wrong. And it doesn't mean that you love them any less, but you don't do them any good by not disciplining them. So you have to do that.
No,
yeah.
you have to teach them how to get by in the world. And if you
yeah.
start with a multi-million-dollar trust fund and a lot of judges and police officers and other people in power in your dad's back pocket, you can certainly get away with a whole lot more and not get caught. You can,
right.
You can have an imaginary bone spur.
Right. You might get to be president someday.
But in everyday life, I think that people struggle with being, am I being a bad person when I hold
that there's been a lot of loss in their life, or that I do know that they've been treated badly. And there are a lot of people out there that, you know, justify their bad behavior because of their past actions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, somebody did it to me, so I can do it to somebody else, or it's okay, or, well, how come nobody came to my rescue? How come nobody saved me when I was being molested as a child? Or how come nobody came to me? I mean, there's a lot of really tough stuff that's coming out these days, and a lot of people that are not staying quiet. And I think that people who are trying to seriously be good people struggle, and I want to let them to know it's perfectly good. In fact, the best choice is to be two-faced, but two-faced to the same person. They need to see both mm-hmm. faces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. It still does not make it right what you did to me. I'm sorry right. that has been the experience. And, you know, and some people say sorry. Oh, you shouldn't say sorry. There's an energy to it. Words have the energy we give them. And you know if you're saying I'm sorry, like it's my fault, or I feel badly. I'm sorry. I feel, you know, that I can share, I can have some sympathy that this is tough for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to stop me from setting a boundary. It's not going
right.
to stop me from holding you accountable.
Right,
and
exactly.
And that's the other kind of two-faced.
Right, well, very well said. Well, I hear the music, so we are out of time. This is Matt Connerton. Thank you to Dr. Kevin for inviting me to guest host this week. And Dr. Kevin, thank you for being my guest. It's been a pleasure.
We'll have to do it again.
All right, sounds great. And that concludes the Dr. Kevin Show. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.